It was a tough one. It was a tough one. They came out, you know, it was really more about them than us, to be honest with you. They came out, and they were very physical. Took us out of some things. We didn't really respond. And then they just made shots, too, man. You know, there was so many opportunities, I thought, in that first quarter that we had some of our shooters that had good looks and couldn't make it. And then we couldn't stop them. We talked about their offensive rebound. They're first in the league, second chance points, and I called a first timeout. They had four already. Did a good job on our first possession defensively, and then they put it up on the rim, and they got it back. You know, so it was tough. It was tough, but you give them credit. You know, they did what they had to do. They played well, and we just didn't. I mean, shoot, it's been a tough road trip. I mean, I don't think you can sum it up any other way. Had a great game in Brooklyn. I thought we fought really hard in Phoenix. Both Dallas games, I was disappointed in both games. The second Dallas game, at least, looked like this one. So it hasn't been a good trip, you know, in my opinion. But we got two more games left against some really good teams and a chance to try to play better.
Hey, Rip City. This is Anthony Simons, and it's time to open the briefcase with Casey Hodall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to the briefcase. Episode 74 of The Briefcase. I am your host, Casey Holdall, spending my last few hours in New York City with you, and that was Chauncey Billups discussing the Trailblazers' 112-84 loss to the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden Tuesday night, and his thoughts on the road trip in general, with two games still left to play. Been a bit of a rough road trip for the Portland Trailblazers. We're going to talk about it on this edition of The Briefcase. Wins versus the Brooklyn Nets, but losses, blowout losses to the Suns, two to the Mavericks, and as I just mentioned, to the Knicks on Tuesday night, where they were basically not competitive from midway through the first quarter. You'd like to see a better result there, but we've been on the road for a long time. However, there are some issues that seem to be happening on this trip that we're going to discuss. We'll hear from Anthony Simons after the loss to the Knicks and his thoughts on the road trip as well. Consider what lineup changes Chauncey Billups might have in store. Give an update on Portland's never-ending injury issues and check in on how the Trailblazers are faring versus the spread on this trip. A little hint, not very well, on this edition of The Briefcase. Well, after starting off their extended trip in New York City with a great victory, an overtime victory versus the Nets in Brooklyn, the Trailblazers, after a day off, followed up with a 112-84 loss to the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. First game in the Garden for a lot of players, and unfortunately, did not go very well for the Trailblazers. They've had some pretty tough games in Madison Square Garden over the years, and the loss to the Knicks on Tuesday night, definitely one of those. The Blazers turned it over on three of their first four possessions, trailed by as many as 19 points in the first quarter, 24 points in the second quarter, and 39 points in the second half, before ultimately making it look a little bit better by getting the final margin down to 28 points, which really goes to show just how difficult of a game that was when losing by 28 points felt like it was actually a little bit better than how the game actually went. With the game already well out of hand, Chauncey Billups turned the fourth quarter over to Tamani and the guys who were playing in the G League, and it was nice for those guys to get some run. Rian Rupert, Justin Manaya, Ibu Baji, who's had a really nice trip, getting some significant minutes on this trip. It's been one of the bright spots, seeing his development as they've been shorthanded at the center position. And Chris Murray getting out there with Tumani and just getting a little run in as well, which at this point in time, I think that's really the only positive thing you take from the game, is that you were able to get some minutes to some guys who haven't played a whole lot, at least at the NBA level. A lot of these guys spending quite a bit of time in the G League with Rip City Remix. So that was a positive. But when you're looking that hard for positives, again, you can tell that the game did not go very well. Not the kind of performance that you would like to see out of the Trailblazers. The Knicks are playing great basketball right now, so you don't go into that game necessarily expecting to win. But I do think you go into every game expecting to be competitive, and I don't know that you could really say that about the loss Tuesday night. Only Anthony Simons with 12 points and Jeremy Grant with 21 points finished the game in double figures for the Trailblazers, while the Knicks had six players score in double figures in that game. I know we've talked a lot about defense. Defense is where you'd want to see the most improvement from this team, and for good reason. Defense, obviously an issue when you give up the amount of points the Blazers gave up in the first three quarters, but really, the issue in Tuesday night's game and in this entire road trip has been their offense. They're having a very difficult time scoring right now. Not an efficient offense. We're going to talk in a moment about some of those stats. So while it felt at times like they're getting scored on at will, as of right now, one of the real issues is their ability to put the ball in the basket. Let's go ahead and hear from Anthony Simons, give his thoughts after the game versus the Knicks Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden about the road trip, about the loss to the Knicks, and whether or not he's seen improvement from this team on a consistent basis. Let's go ahead and hear from Ant. And so, just in general, what would you say kind of went wrong for you guys tonight? It seems like they kind of jumped in early, and it was pretty tough right from the jump.
Yeah, they made a lot of shots. Whether it was contested or not, they made a lot of shots. Credit to them for, making a lot of shots tonight. And we got good looks, so we just couldn't knock them down tonight. So I think that was kind of the story of the game.
I know you missed a good chunk of it, but how would you describe the way this road trip has gone for you guys so far?
It's been obviously, some tough games in Dallas, and then started in the Knicks. It started for me in Dallas, but overall, obviously some tough games, but, like I said before, we all keep in positive mindsets. It's not getting too low. I think maybe the lowest we ever got was after the Dallas game when we got blew out twice in a row. So, but for the most part, everybody's keeping their spirits, and that's what we kind of look for, too, as well, is that everybody is staying together. I mean, it's hard, You're not winning that many games, and it's easy to just disconnect, from the season and everything that's going on, but everybody's been still connected and understanding, there's a process to get to, a team that wins a lot of games. So, that's the one thing I'm most proud about the team, is that we continue to stay together and going to these games with positive mindsets throughout the whole thing.
I think it is that you guys have been able to do that. What do you think has gone into that?
I think it's just, we all got great relationships with each other. There's never any bad blood between each other. And the coaches do a great job of keeping us together. So credit to them. They do a great job of making sure we stay engaged in everything we got to do. And as players, everybody has good relationships with each other. So it's easy for us to, stay together.
I think fans and people who watch the team know that you mentioned it. It's hard to get wins in this league. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you guys are getting better? Do you feel like you're making improvements or gradually becoming the team that eventually you want to be?
Yeah, for sure. It's just sometimes it might not look good on the box score, but even if, we do one thing better the next game than we did before, that's an improvement. And obviously it might not look pretty all the time, but internally we understand that we need to get better at, and if we can improve, maybe just one thing each and every game, then that's a step in the right direction for us. So I think we just need to continue to get better at the details of each and every game, and just experience from all the young guys. They gotta experience each and every team. Each and every player that we go against. They have to go through this in order to get to where we want to get to.
How much have you guys missed DeAndre? Just having
him? Obviously, a lot. Just a big that's so mobile, and you can hit in the pocket, and he makes plays from there. He can hit the mid range, and so
experience
for sure. He understands every other team as well. So, we got guys like WAP hasn't experienced it, but been playing great. So that's a plus for us. And Baji's been playing great for us. And they just been kind of thrown in the fire. They've been responding pretty well. So, I'm proud of them for doing that. And so, obviously having DA, that veteran, big that's been through it all, we missed that a lot. And we're just waiting for him to get back.
What have you thought about Baji now? You were with him all of last year when he wasn't playing at all. It was just on a two-way. And now, the last couple games, he's actually gotten in. What have you thought about the way he's played now?
No, Baji played with a lot of energy. He's right there at the rim every single time. Contesting shots, getting blocks. And he's just been pretty solid for us. And I'm excited that he's able to get this opportunity because, it's my first time playing with Baji. I've been teammates with him for 2 years now, so I'm just happy to see him out there on the court, and playing well.
As a mentor to Scoot, have you been impressed with his ability to bounce back from bad plays or bad games? He seems to really have an unflappable personality.
For sure. That's the one thing I try to tell him is that, you got to take the good with the bad. It's some nights you might not look good, some nights you're going to look good. It's just the process of becoming who you want to become in this league. So, I remember as a young guy, even if I wasn't playing as much, and I would go back and I'd be like, I was terrible. But you got to continue to go through it in order to reach where you want to reach to. So I just tell him, keep playing. No matter what. If you feel like you're not playing good, just don't worry about it at all. Keep playing, keep getting your confidence up. And just keep learning and watching film with coaches and learning what you need to do next time in order to improve. And so that's all it is. It's about learning.
So there you go. Anthony Simons, after the loss to the Knicks, some good perspective there. And even though he was talking about Scoot Henderson in general, I think the way he ended it there about it being about learning, I think is a really good point to take from what Anfernee was talking about. Also, in regards to the question about whether or not the team is improving, I thought that was a great answer as well. And I think as we get further and further into the season, that's going to be something that's going to be important to remember for fans, at least if you don't want to tear yourself up in knots after every single game, is that wins are going to be tough. You would hope they're going to be competitive, but you know that they're going to be up against it on a night-to-night basis in terms of personnel. But as long as you're seeing some improvement, I think that, at least for me, is the important part about this season, is seeing this team get better, making strides. And while it'd be better if it wasn't necessarily in 28-point losses, it is a long season. It's going to come in all kinds of different ways. So in many regards, I understand the frustration. Watching the games, it's frustrating sometimes as well. But I think as this team tries to become the team that they want to be throughout these next few seasons, patience is definitely going to be warranted. And sometimes it's not going to look great, as it didn't on Tuesday night. But other nights, like it did on Sunday afternoon, are going to look pretty good. So it's always going to be a mix of good and the bad. You just hope that that bad doesn't look so bad. And I think maybe one of the things that was especially disappointing about Tuesday's game is that they had played one of their best games of the season a day earlier, as I mentioned, across the bridge in Brooklyn, where they bested the Nets 134-127 in overtime behind strong performances from Anfernee Simons, who had 38 points and 11 assists, Jeremy Grant, who had 27 points, Shaedon Sharpe, who came off the bench for 21 points, and Malcolm Brogdon, who had 18 points, 8 of those in the overtime, and Duop Reith getting his first double-double of his career with 15 points and a career-high 13 rebounds and 3 blocks. So you go in, you have a great game against the Nets. They were down for most of that game. Finally get over the hump in the fourth quarter. Game goes to overtime. Blazers pull away in overtime as they make the right plays. Malcolm Brogdon, as I mentioned, doing a great job in that overtime. Really, Anfernee Simons drawing so much attention in that overtime and fourth quarter that it opened up things for other players. And so to see it work that way, to see Anfernee play as well as he did, to see the rest of the offense play as well as they did, and then open things up for each other because the defense had to react, it was great to see, and you wanted to see the same thing or something similar two nights later versus the Knicks, and you just didn't see it. So that's unfortunate. Of course, there's still some opportunities to turn it around on this road trip. The Trailblazers leaving New York on Wednesday morning, heading to Oklahoma City for a back-to-back versus the Thunder and Timberwolves on Thursday and Friday to finish off the trip, two of the best teams in the Western Conference. So heading back west with two very difficult games. The Thunder will be on a back-to-back when they play the Trailblazers. They're playing the Miami Heat on Wednesday, and then the Blazers back in Oklahoma City on Thursday, which seems insane to me. That is an incredibly long flight, at least for a back-to-back. You do pick up an hour going from Miami to Oklahoma City, but that is a real... That's a tough back-to-back. I'm surprised that that is happening. I think that obviously improves Portland's chances. They did not have a very good performance their last time they played Oklahoma City in Portland. And then you finished up the trip with your first game this season against the Timberwolves, one of the surprise best teams in the NBA. A difficult way to end the road trip, but if you want to try to salvage something from this trip, if you're able to get one of those games, let alone both, I think you feel pretty decent about the way it went in totality. You don't feel very good about some of the individual performances, but at least if you're able to go in and be competitive in those last two games of the trip, I think you at least, again, feel like you're making some progress. If not, you feel how you feel. One of the things that might change at the end of this trip is Chauncey Billups mentioned after the Knicks game that he was considering going back to starting Shaedon Sharpe, who has been coming off the bench since he had that abductor injury. Scoot Henderson has been starting ever since alongside Anfernee Simons. But I think at this point, they might be considering going back to Shaedon. Both Ant and Scoot, really more point guards at this point. Shaedon gives you a bit more size, a bit more shooting at the guard position. And I think it just balances the rotation a little bit as well. He said he was considering it. He didn't necessarily say it was going to happen. He also mentioned that he might be considering other changes to the starting lineup as well. That's something that Chauncey Billups had mentioned at the beginning of the season, is that he wanted to do more tinkering, more changing with those lineups as the season went on. And when the team isn't necessarily playing especially well, or at least isn't playing consistently, I think that does open up the possibility that maybe Chauncey goes with some of those changes. Now, what might they be? Obviously, as just mentioned, Shaedon and Scoot, that's been something that we've seen throughout the season. Shaedon started the season coming off the bench. Obviously, the injury to Ant caused him to get into the starting lineup. But other than that, he's been kind of in and out of that position. So we'll see if they go that direction. But the other options too, maybe they go back to Matisse Thybulle starting in place of Tumani Kamara. I don't really think they have a whole lot of options at the center position at this point. We are going to talk about DeAndre Ayton in a moment here, getting close to his return. But I imagine when he does return, he is definitely going to be starting. But I didn't get the sense that that was really one of the changes that Chauncey said he was considering, because that's not really a change. That's just getting back to what it was before. Do they try something at one of the other forward positions? I don't really think that there's a whole lot of opportunity there. Maybe they decide to start Malcolm again as well. I mentioned Matisse Thybulle getting in place of Tumani Kamara. Trailblazers' offense really struggling right now. So if you do go with Malcolm Brogdon, maybe in a three-guard lineup, perhaps that works for you. That works probably a little bit better as well if Shaedon Sharpe is back in the starting lineup. Again, that gives you a little more size. If you're going Ant, Scoot, and Malcolm, that's not exactly a stout three-guard lineup to have. So perhaps they get Malcolm back in the starting lineup. Perhaps Matisse gets back into the starting lineup. I think there's a good chance that Shaedon gets back into the starting lineup. So we'll see which direction they go there. But I think it's very possible that by the end of this trip, we will see some changes to that starting five, and perhaps even some changes further down the rotation as well. Moving on, it's a few days old now, but the Trailblazers have waived both Skylar Mays and Ish Wainwright. Skylar has since already signed a two-way contract with the Lakers. Not sure if anyone's out there is considering Ish at the moment, but I imagine he'll at least get a 10-day at some point in time, maybe even with the Trailblazers for all I know. Both those contracts were becoming guaranteed last weekend, which is why I think they decided to waive those players. Gives them two open roster spots as well. The Blazers had no open roster spots. That gives them some flexibility going into the trade season, though I don't think anything is necessarily imminent. I don't think they waived either one of those guys because a trade is imminent. I just think they're preserving that flexibility. And as I mentioned, teams can now sign players to 10-day contracts. So if you have non-guaranteed guys at the end of your roster who are only playing sparingly, I think there's a decent argument to be made that you might as well give those minutes to 10-day contract guys rather than having guaranteed money on your books. The name of the game is flexibility for the Trailblazers right now, and having two open roster spots and not guaranteeing those contracts does give them added flexibility. One of the tough parts of the business, sometimes you have to make those decisions. Both of those guys well-liked on the team, but you got to do what you got to do. Team also announced recently that Moses Brown has a non-displaced fracture in his scaphoid, which is your wrist, I guess. Surgery is planned for sometime this week. He will be out for an extended period of time. So opening up those two roster spots also gives the Blazers an opportunity to maybe sign another center onto this team if they need to do that. Right now, they're down to Duop Reith and Ibu Baji, even though, as I mentioned, we might as well move on to injury news. DeAndre Ayton was upgraded to doubtful for Tuesday's game versus the Knicks, and while he didn't end up playing in that game, that is a sign that he's nearing return since missing the last eight games with knee tendonitis. DeAndre did not travel with the team for the first couple stops, arrived in New York once that knee injury had improved to a point where at least there was a possibility that he might play. Saw him out on the court prior to the game versus the Knicks getting a workout in. You would hope that maybe at some point in time on this trip, if not the game versus the Thunder, then maybe the game against the Timberwolves, DeAndre getting back out there. I imagine he will not play in both games. I'd be pretty surprised if coming off a knee tendonitis, he played in back-to-back games, but you would hope maybe he's going to be available for one of those games. He also missed 2 weeks earlier in December with that knee injury, so I know they're going to want to take their time with it, but you would hope that now that he's on the trip with the team, that perhaps he's able to get out there before they get back home. Another player, Jabari Walker, has missed the last three games with a left knee sprain. Really unfortunate there as well. Jabari playing some really nice basketball. Injured his knee in the first game versus the Mavericks. Has not played since. He also seems to be improving as well. I believe he was questionable for the game versus the Knicks. He also did not end up playing. But I imagine that he will get back on the court before the end of this trip. Again, I'd be a little surprised if he played in a back-to-back. But as he improves, hopefully he's able to get back out there. Jabari really gives his team something they need off the bench, and he really just brings that level of energy to that second unit. He just brings that level of energy that you really need when you're not playing especially good basketball, so getting Jabari out there would be very helpful. Hopefully the Blazers at some point in time able to get everyone on the court at the same time, something that really hasn't happened at all this season. Well, I do have to get down to the bus soon before we take off from Newark to head to Oklahoma City, so I'm going to run through these last couple parts pretty quickly. In terms of the Trailblazers' offensive and defensive rating, which we track all season long here on The Briefcase, the Blazers are now 28th in offensive rating, one spot worse than the last time we checked, at 108 points scored per 100 possessions, which is actually 1 point per 100 possessions worse than earlier this week. So they're definitely going in the wrong direction offensively, and they continue to slump on the other side of the ball as well, as they're now 20th in defensive rating, two spots worse than the last time we checked, which was also two spots worse than the last time we checked before that, at 116 points allowed per 100 possessions. That's a point allowed per 100 possessions worse than the last time we checked in, so 1 point worse on defense, 1 point worse on offense, per 100 possessions at least. And looking specifically at the last five games, which is the totality of this road trip so far, the Blazers' defense has been a bit worse than their defense this season at 118.6 points allowed per 100 possessions, but that also ranks 20th, which is what their season rank has been. So they've been defensively on this trip about the same as they've been this season, but the issue has been offense on this trip, as evidenced by their offensive rating over the last five games. They are scoring just 98.1 points per 100 possessions on this trip, which is dead last in the NBA over the last five games, and 10 points per 100 possessions worse than the 29th ranked team over the last five games, the Charlotte Hornets. Now, five games isn't much of a sample size, but that's a level of inefficiency that cannot be ignored. For context, the gap between the Trailblazers and the Hornets, which is 10 points per 100 possessions over the last five games, is the difference between the Hornets in 29th and the Nuggets in 11th. So to put it bluntly, the Blazers' offense on this trip has not been good. There's no two ways around it. You go into the season wanting to be a better defensive team, but you have the players that should be better offensively as well, and on this trip, that has not been the case. Again, 98 points per 100 possessions in the last five games. As I mentioned, the Trailblazers for the season are scoring 108 points per 100 possessions. So the Blazers right now also 10 points per 100 possessions on this road trip, worse than they've been offensively for the season. That is a significant drop. And as far as their net rating, the Trailblazers are 26th in net rating, same as the last time we checked in at minus 8.0, which is almost 2 points worse than last week, but they're still in the same rank. So take of that what you will. And when I mention all those things, it's no surprise that the Blazers have gone 1-4 versus the spread on this trip, with their only win versus the spread coming in their only victory of the trip so far. The Blazers didn't cover the 9.5-point spread versus the Suns, the 11-point spread in the first game versus the Mavericks, the 7-point spread in the second game versus the Mavericks, nor the 13-point spread in their loss Tuesday night versus the Knicks. They did, however, more than cover when they were 9.5-point underdogs versus the Nets and ended up winning that game in overtime by 7. And so after 5 games on this 7-game trip, the Trailblazers are now 16-20 versus the spread this season. Obviously, 2 games left to go. I imagine there's a good chance there'll be double-digit underdogs in the games versus the Thunder and the Timberwolves, though, as I mentioned, the Thunder being on the second night of a back-to-back, flying in from Miami to Oklahoma City and then playing that next day, that might soften up that line a bit, but I would imagine otherwise, considering the way the Blazers have played, considering their offensive rating on this trip, that it's very possible they'll be double-digit underdogs in both of those games. And that was something earlier in the season, the Blazers were great versus the spread when they were double-digit underdogs. More recently, they've been as bad in double-digit spread games as they were good in double-digit spread games earlier in the season. So going the wrong direction there as well. And I won't even get to what their season over-under is looking like. That under, unfortunately, starting to look better and better by the day, folks. So that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Got to get down to the bus. Got to get off to Newark. Thanks so much for joining me, as always. Trailblazers finishing up this trip Thursday and Friday versus the Thunder and the Timberwolves. Both those games on Root Sports, 6:20 a.m. If you haven't subscribed to The Briefcase, please do so, as well as The Blazers Balcony with Brooke Ozendam and Section 113 with Travis Demers and Michael Holton. We'll talk to you soon. Go Blazers.